Hey, good morning, y'all. Come on, who's grateful for the new start you got in Jesus? Amen. All right, if you got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. I'm going to take you to several places in God's Word this morning. I'm going to move quickly, but that's the first place we're going to start. And just so honored, just want to welcome you all once again. Just so privileged and honored to be with you here this morning and to dig into God's Word and just continue to encourage you and everything that He's made possible for you to be and become in Him. And, you know, we're in this series called Live to Lead. And the idea is this, that God's leadership in God's kingdom is not reserved for those who have titles or position. It's the call of God on every believer. God's created you for a purpose. And God's got a call on your life. There's something that He's created you to do. There's a sphere of influence that you have. You're leading people, whether you realize it or not. You're leading yourself. You're leading your spouse. You're leading your family. You're leading people in your workplace. And so it's just about how intentional you are to begin to say, God, would you begin to form and fashion and shape my leadership so that it's Christ-like leadership, so that I'm leading people towards you, towards what you have for them, towards your purpose for their lives. And so just be encouraged. Listen, God has a call upon your life. And the call of God in this season to our church, you've heard me say it often since around the beginning of the year, that the invitation of God to you, and to me and to our church in this season is to draw near and to grow close and to go deeper in God. That's God's invitation to us as Rev City. That's God's invitation to you. Listen, wherever you are today, whatever you're up against today, there's more that God has for you. He's not finished with you. The Bible says that He will bring to completion the good work that He's begun in you. And so we want you to draw near to God, to grow deep in God, to go deeper with Him, to grow close to Him, to really begin to know God or continue to know Him personally and in a deeper way, who He is and what He's done for you and who you are in Him, and to know His grace and His forgiveness that covers your past and allows you to connect to that new beginning that we just sang about in Christ. Amen? To be healed, to be set free, to begin or continue to discover and experience all that He's made possible for you as a son and a daughter in the house of the Lord. Amen. To begin to live that life, not just know about it, but begin to live it out, to begin to walk it out, to become not just a believer in Christ, but a follower of Christ. Come on, you know that's the call of God, that we become disciples and followers, not just those that believe, but those that live in a relationship with God and live out His word, live out His ways, and make a difference in His name. Amen? To be followers, to be champions in life. More than conquerors, like Amity said this morning, victorious, not because of anything we can do except just placing our hope and our faith and our trust in the one who did it for us, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I want to talk to you this week, our Live to Lead session. And here's the pattern has been, we're introducing messages into our life groups. And it's not too late for you to become connected to those. And in fact, this semester is a perfect opportunity for you to just jump in if you haven't already jumped in, because every week is a unique and specific message on Christ-like leadership. And so, you know, this last week's message was on the danger of offense. The danger of offense. And the pattern has been, we introduce a message and then I'm going to preach into it the following Sunday just to wrap it up and just to keep our entire church. If you maybe missed Life Group, and by the way, if you've missed some of those, they're all available on our website. Just go to revcity.com and navigate to the Life Group section, and they're all there. The videos and the discussion guides that we've been providing into the Life Groups. But the idea is that I'll bring a message on Sunday that just wraps up and just keeps our church moving into what God has for you and for your neighbor and for all of us as a church family. But I want to talk to you this morning about the danger of offense, the trap of offense. And have you ever known someone that is easily offendable? Come on, let's be real with one. Have you ever known someone that's like that? Come on, you guys. Some of you don't know someone who's, have you ever been that person? Come on, I'm not just showing you what to do. I'm raising my hand for both of those. Listen, sometimes there are big offenses, things that really hurt, really wound, really go deep. But oftentimes when we talk about offense, they're just these little things that happen in life, little things that happen in relationships that lead to offense, little misunderstandings, little aggravations. Here's a big one, unmet expectations. Something that we thought God was going to do and he's yet to do. Something that we thought someone was going to do and they didn't do. Something that we expected that they would have said. Something that we had built into our perspective that they should have done, said, or provided for us that didn't happen. Unmet expectations. It's the breeding ground for offense. And listen, we might think it's sometimes not a big deal to just have a little offense if it's about something small or something trivial. But that's where I want to look at what Matthew 24:10 says. Are you there? Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. We'll move quickly through some of these, so they'll put them up on the screen behind me. And it says this, and there, Jesus is talking to the disciples about the end times and about the last days and about things that they'll experience and about things that they can watch for. And he says that many will be offended. And then watch this. I believe he's talking about three distinct things, but I also believe that he's talking about a pattern, a chronological pattern that can happen in our lives if we're not on guard. And he says, many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Listen, I believe we can't afford to tolerate just little minor offenses. That when we get comfortable with just saying, you know, it's just a little offense that I'm carrying or holding towards God or towards that person or towards my spouse. I think what the Lord is warning us of, that if we harbor that, if we allow that, if we tolerate that, that it could lead to the act of betrayal, that and it could lead to there being hate in our heart towards a brother or towards a sister, towards someone that we once even loved. And by the way, let me just tell you that the more intimate, the more close a relationship is, the greater opportunity there is for you to experience an offense. And some of us, we need to realize that. We begin to start seeing things differently. Come on, I believe this morning one of my goals and my mission from the Holy Spirit today is to shine the light on a way that the enemy, on a tactic of the enemy that he uses to keep us from living in peace and joy, and a tactic that he uses to try to divide and destroy relationships. An offense leads to betrayal, leads to hate. And listen, God's a God of relationship. The reason this is so important to the heart of God, and the reason I'm asking the Holy Spirit to allow me to preach it in a way that's effective, and the reason I hope you see that I'm passionate about it this morning as your pastor, is because relationship is the heart of God. And perhaps nothing stands the opportunity to divide or hinder your enjoyment of, or to steal the satisfaction, or to limit the effectiveness, or rob you from the God-given purpose that God intended for a relationship, regardless of who it's with, your children, your spouse, your pastor, someone in your church, in your workplace. Nothing stands to rob you from those things, that potential and that promise, like the trap of offense. And listen, that's what the enemy wants to do, is steal those things from you and hinder those things. Listen, I tell you this often, anywhere that there's a promise of God that offers power or provision, or there's potential tied up into it, you better expect that the enemy's going to come and oppose and resist. And in relationship, come on, how many of you know, oftentimes when God moves in our life, when God does something in our life, he works through relationships. He works through people around us. And there are some very, really special things that God desires to do in your life as a reflection of his heart and his nature towards you through relationships. And so listen, we better expect that the enemy is going to come and he's going to try to lie and he's going to try to deceive and he's going to try to steal. Listen, that's what the enemy, the word of God says. God shows us. He wants us to see the nature and the pattern of our enemy so that we can begin to recognize and resist. And John 10:10 says that the enemy comes, the thief comes, only, it says, only to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I've come. He said, but I've come that you might have life and life to the full. He said, I've come that you might experience life and life abundantly. And so the good news this morning is that if the enemy has a trap set for you in a relationship that's tied up in a fence, God has a good plan. God has a way. God has a pattern. If we'll just turn to him and we'll just seek what his word says and we'll be willing to receive it with soft hearts and begin to walk it out, God's way is greater. Amen? Would you allow me to pray over our time and really pray? And right there where you are, would you, as I lead us corporately, would you just pray individually? Just come on, just ask the Lord to come and to minister to you. Ask the Lord to come and to highlight or show you any place in your life where maybe there's an offense, or any place in your life where maybe there's a weakness that causes you to become easily offended, or maybe an area of unforgiveness, or whatever it is for you. I don't know where you're sitting this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but God does, and he cares. Come on, as much as I care about it, God cares even more. And so, Lord, we're gathered in this place as your people. We're here to meet with you and encounter you and experience you. And we thank you, Lord, that your heart is so good towards us as your people. And you're so rich in mercy. You're full of compassion. You're slow to anger, God. You're a God of grace. And you desire to come this morning and to heal us and to set us free in areas where we've been in bondage. And you desire this morning to strengthen us, to shine your light and reveal things to us or remind us about things that you've spoken and that you've declared and that you've made possible through your word and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Help us to have open hearts, Lord, soft and open and ready to receive what you desire to do in deep places in our lives today. Lord, that we might begin to move forward into all the things that you have for us in every area of life, including our relationships. And all of God's precious and handsome people said, come on, amen, amen, amen. Listen, I can't tell you how many friendships, marriages, families, business partnerships, church relationships, and even entire churches have been hindered and then divided and then ultimately destroyed over an offense, something that could have been easily dealt with while it was still just an offense. Listen, offense can lead to bitterness, which can lead to rejection, which can lead to separation, which puts us in a place of isolation, which can lead to destruction. Come on, God called you to live in a community of believers, in a community of faith, a body of believers. He never intended for you to do it on your own and go it alone. And the enemy's always trying to accuse us one to another. And the enemy's always trying to isolate us and divide us. Because his goal over your life is destruction. Listen, his ultimate goal is destruction. Isn't that what John 10:10 says? He comes to destroy. His goal is destruction. His strategy is division. And his tactic is often offense. And listen, because God cares so much about your relationships and the future and the calling and the purpose and the leadership that God's got for your life, he wants you to be aware of your enemy's goals and strategies and tactics so we can begin to be on guard and we can begin to see some things. We can begin to recognize some things. Come on, we can begin to call some things out as for what they are, some things that maybe once tripped us up and hindered us or caused us to go into a funk or caused us to carry an offense or caused us to reject someone. We can begin to see that, hey, this is the enemy. He's coming into something that's important to the heart of God, this relationship. And he's trying to introduce something to cause a division that causes me to become separated and isolated because he's about destroying relationships. Listen, Luke 17:1, this is important, y'all. This is important. I really believe this is one of, if you're going to be a leader in God's kingdom, and even if you're just going to enjoy life and enjoy the relationships that God desires to bless you with, this is one of the things that we really have to be willing to sit up and listen and see what the heart of God is towards this. And it's important. Luke 17:1. Jesus said this. He said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. It's impossible that no offenses should come. Listen, stuff is going to happen. He's saying, I've come to give life and life abundantly, but you have an enemy. And there are two kingdoms that are warring against one another. And one is built on relationship and grace. And the other is built on accusation and division. And he's saying, it's impossible that you're not going to experience some of these things as you navigate life, as you try to be married, as you live out church life with people. Come on, if you're in a room with two or three people, there's going to be two or three opinions about something. And he's saying, it's impossible that offenses won't come. Stuff's going to happen. You're going to have some bad days. And somehow that reminded me of the story of the pirate who had the peg leg, the hook arm, and the glass eye. Anyone heard that one? It's a joke, so don't take yourself too seriously, all right? You're going to have a bad day. Stuff is going to happen. The enemy's going to come and try to take you out. And so there was this pirate. And he had a wooden leg, a hook arm, and a glass eye. And they were gathered around like pirates do, telling pirate stories. And someone said, tell us about your peg leg and your hook arm and your glass eye. And he said, well, oh gosh, I'm about to do a pirate impersonation. He said, arr. He said, we were shipwrecked. We were shipwrecked and they were pulling me up on the plank. And a shark, a great white, came up and bit me leg off. And now I have me peg leg. And I can't believe I'm doing this. And then They said, tell us about your hook arm. And he said, in the midst of a fearsome battle, a sword fell upon me arm and cut me arm straight off, and I have me hook. And they said, tell us about your patch in your glass eye. And he said, it was a clear and beautiful day, and I looked up, and a seagull flew over, and seagull droppings went directly in my eye. And they said, you lost your eye to seagull droppings? And he said, no, it was the first day I had me hook. Stuff is going to happen in life. Come on, you're going to have opportunities to become offended. And you know, in Luke 17:1, there's no good segue back to the Bible. Luke 17:1, that word offense is a Greek word scandalon. It's the Greek word scandalon, and it's the Greek word for offense, and it literally means the bait set on the trap. The bait set on a trap. If you picture like someone's dug a hole and they've covered it up with leaves and they've taken a stick and they've put in something attractive to bait you to try to cause you to fall into the hole. The place where the stick and the bait exist as part of the trap is the word scandalon. Which is the word there that is offense. Listen, John Bevere was the one that brought our message this last weekend to our life group, and he wrote the book Bait of Satan. And listen, it's not just a clever title for a book about offense; it's literally what offense represents to your life. It's the bait of Satan. It's the thing that the enemy rather introduces into your life to try to cause you to stumble and fall into a trap or a pit of despair in a relationship. And so this is important. He said, offenses will come. He said, scandalons will come. He said, there will be these opportunities, these things that the enemy puts out before you, this bait that he puts out. And he's saying, you need to be aware of this because the bait will cause you, if you take the bait, you'll fall into the trap. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Listen, he uses bait. If it was obvious, come on, I love to fish. I love to fish, and I use a lot of lures, you know, and I'm using something shiny that's attractive that represents something that the fish desperately want and need and crave, and I'm trying to get them to come in and bite that thing so I can hook them and I can catch them and I can clean them and I can eat them, and if they're big enough, I'll put them on my wall. I hope that doesn't offend you. Let's move on. I'm preaching about offense. But listen, Satan's tactics, he puts something out there, and oftentimes, if it was obvious, he uses bait. He uses something. Come on, think about that fishing analogy for a minute. He uses something that mimics something that kind of draws us in, you know. Just people standing in the corner of the office kind of talking about the girl down the hall, you know. He uses just little things. He uses something that just kind of looks like, hey, that there's something shiny about that, and it just draws you in. And I'm telling you, as the people of God, we've got to begin to train our discernment to begin to see when the enemy has put bait out to try to trap you in a pit of offense. He's setting traps. Come on, it's one thing if something happens by accident. It's one thing if we have an honest misunderstanding. It's one thing if something just kind of happens and you hurt me or someone in my family or a relationship. Listen, it's a whole other thing when I understand and I begin to hear or somehow I find out that you're setting a trap and waiting for me or my family. That takes it to a whole, that's a whole nother ball game. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? It's one thing if we just kind of bump into each other. It's another thing if you're laying and waiting to trap me in something and to take me out. And I'm just telling you, people of God, that's what the enemy is doing to you. And I think it ought to cause us to start to have this righteous resolve and maybe even a righteous anger, a righteous hate towards this thing called offense. Where it begins to build this into our heart, we begin to see it differently and we begin to position ourselves accordingly. Understanding that we have a God who's about relationship and grace, but we have an enemy who would love nothing more than to kill, steal, and destroy in every relationship that we have. Listen, did you know that there are things that God hates? Do you know there's things that God hates? Proverbs chapter 6 says that there's 6 things and even a 7th that God hates. And I understand this is a strong word, and many of us even teach our kids or raise our kids not to say it or to use it. But listen, there's something about beginning to learn and discern what God hates so that we can begin to ally ourselves with the things against the things that he hates and for the things that he loves. Amen? And it says this, it says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Listen, because God loves unity and he blesses unity and he loves relationship and he loves friendship and he hates discord and he hates division and he hates the offenses that often lead to those things. And we begin to build this into our heart. We begin to build this into our heart. We begin to see it differently. We begin to no longer tolerate it. We begin to see God has a plan and a purpose for my relationships. And we begin to identify and see it differently, that those little things, it's bait from the enemy to try to get me into the trap of offense. We begin to say, I begin to hate those things because God hates it. I'm going to begin to love the things that God loves. I'm going to begin to choose what God wants me to choose. And I'm going to begin to stand against the traps and the lies of the enemy. I'm going to begin to recognize what God is for and what he's up to and begin to partner with him. And did you know in Revelations 12, verse 10, that Satan is styled as, he's revealed as, he's described as the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brothers and the sisters. Come on, that's you and me. And he's constantly accusing us to ourselves. He's accusing us to God and he's accusing us one to another. He started in the garden and he's yet to let up. He came to Eve and he said, did God really say? And he's still saying, did God really say? Or he's still saying, do they really love you? Or he's saying, does that person really care for you? Or he's always, come on, he's setting up all these traps for offense. We walk past each other in the hall at church and we think it's because they're rejecting us. And really it's just because they're burning their pot roast at home and they had to get going. He's the accuser of the brethren. Listen, when I'm allowing myself, if we know that he's described as the accuser of the brethren, but God is described as full of compassion, rich in mercy, slow to anger, abundant in grace. Come on, that's how God's described, right? When we begin, accuser of the brethren, rich in compassion, full of mercy, slow to anger. When we begin to allow ourselves to become critical, judgmental, or we begin to take the bait of offense, who are we partnering with? Who are we partnering with? Listen, we can't allow ourselves. I don't know about you, but I'm done partnering with the enemy. I'm ready for God to just continue to deepen my resolve to recognize and resist all the ways that the enemy comes to try to destroy and divide. Come on, you know it's true. Some of you have been part of churches. Churches, the place where God's presence is intended to dwell, the place where relationship is paramount, at the heart of everything, the place where unity, some of you have been in churches that have divided or even been destroyed, ceased to exist because of an offense that entered in, that turned into hardness of heart, that turned into bitterness, that caused people to reject and separate, that led to isolation and caused the Spirit of God to leave the room. And I don't know about you, but I refuse to partner with the enemy. He's doing something in my life. He's building something in my life. He's doing something in this church. He's doing something in my marriage. He's doing something in my family. He's up to something. Listen, my life is too short, and my purpose is too big to get caught in the trap of offense. Come on, my life, look at your neighbor, say it, repeat it after me. My life is too short. My purpose is too big to get caught in offense. Listen, the good news is God not only makes us aware, but he makes it possible to live in victory over these things. He makes it possible. It's possible. Come on, it might be difficult, but it's possible. It might be difficult, but it's possible. Someone needs to hear this morning. Maybe it's not even tied to this issue. It might be difficult. What God's taking you through, what he's leading you to, might be difficult, but it's possible. The things that seem impossible, they are possible. The things that seem impossible with man are possible with God. And he makes it possible. And he says in 1 John 4, verse 4, he says, you, dear children, you're from God, and you've overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Come on, that's good news. Psalm 119, 165 says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Come on, say nothing. Nothing shall offend them. Come on, I believe if God says something in his word, there's a pathway to walking it out. And it might not be easy, but it's possible. But it's possible. And you might say, well, wait a minute. I thought that Jesus said offenses are inevitable to come. That it's impossible that offenses don't come. And this just says that those who have great peace have those who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And you know what? Both are true. And you know what makes it true? There's a difference between an offense and becoming offended. Offense is an event, an occurrence, something that's said, something that's done. An offense is an event. Offended is a decision. You can't control some of the things that are going to happen to you, but listen, you have control over how you respond. And it might be hard, but it's possible. And that's the reason I'm titling this message Unoffended, Unoffendable. I'm titling Unoffendable because I really believe that that should be our heart and our goal. Just say, Lord, help me to grow in such a way in every area of my life. Help me to know who you are and who I am, and help me to remember and recall the grace and the mercy and all the ways you've forgiven me, so that when the enemy rises up in someone and through someone and tries to create and present that bait and that trap of offense, I am soaring above it. What used to trap me, what used to cause me to take the bait, I'm no longer going to take it because my life is too short and my purpose is too big. I'm not going to take the bait. Come on, that's the call of God for you. That's the call. Come on, someone just needs to say it again. My life is too short. My purpose is too big. I'm not taking the bait. Listen, it might take the truth of God's word and the power of Holy Spirit. It will take those things, but it's possible. Nothing shall offend them, it says. Nothing shall offend them. So let's see, if it takes God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit, let's see what God has to say about this. Just a few things. We'll move quickly and then we'll close. And in Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 16, turn there if you can, and they'll put it up for you as well. And it says this, is powerful. And it says, since God chose you, come on, he chose you, to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And come on, anytime that the word of God says that you got to clothe yourself with something, it means that God's going to provide it, but you got to put it on. This won't just happen. You don't wake up with these things on you. God will provide them. He'll hang them in your closet, but you got to get up and go to your closet and say, what am I going to put on today? What am I going to look like today? What are people going to see on me today? And it's so true. It says a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And it says be clothed with humility. You got to get up every day and you got to say, what am I going to put on? Am I going to wear offense, or am I going to wear these things that God calls me to wear? Tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And it says this will trip you up, man. It says, make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. I was expecting it to say, do my best to help others see what they do wrong and help them to change. That's the Pastor T version right there. That's the new Pastor T version. That's what I would have wrote in my flesh. But he says, make allowance for one another's faults. And he says, quickly forgive anyone who offends you. Come on, let's step on our toes a little bit, but how many of you believe that if we'll be willing to see what God's word has to say about it and we'll begin to walk it out, it might help us to walk with a greater level of joy, peace, satisfaction, and fulfillment in our life and in our relationships like we've never experienced before, amen? And he says, remember, come on, he's showing us some things. And he says, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. He's saying, don't you forget where you came from and what I've forgiven you of. And he's saying, when they say that little thing or they do that little thing, they push your buttons. Come on, when someone's pushing your buttons, most times God is trying to deal with your button. And he says, don't forget. You've been forgiven. There's a lot I've forgiven you of. And you need to quickly extend forgiveness in the same way come on, we pray that every day in the Lord's Prayer. We should forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As means, come on, where are my English teachers at? In the same manner of, in a way similar to. Forgive us that way. Come on, he says, forget. He said, remember. I think he said that intentionally. Remember. Don't remember your sin. Remember your forgiveness. Don't remember all the stuff you did. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but it's a good thing to wake up every morning and just say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, and I thank you, I'm forgiven and made whole and made new, and there's a good call and purpose and plan of God on my life. Help me to connect to it and serve it out faithfully and well today. In Jesus' name, amen. Help me to be gracious towards others because I realize I need your grace. And it says, above all, come on, he's already said some pretty strong things. And he says, above all that, he says, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace And always, 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 always be thankful. And let the message of Christ in all of its richness, let it fill your lives. Come on, when you get filled with the message of Christ, which is the gospel of grace, it pushes out any opportunity for offense to dwell. Come on, Lord, fill me up. Fill me with this gospel of grace. Fill me with this message of grace so that any of this stuff that the enemy's trying to put in my life to taint or to affect or to hinder or to divide or to destroy my relationship, come on, it just pushes it right out because I'm so filled with the compassion of God. Come on, I don't know about you, but I'm done partnering with the enemy. I want to begin partnering and be about what God's about. He's about relationship and he's about grace. Give what you need. Give grace. Give grace. Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience, and it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. Come on, do you know that people, that it's not just you that's going through some stuff? Other people are going through things too. And can I have the worship team go ahead and come up and get ready to lead us in worship and as we prepare to dismiss? But do you know that's true? It's not just you that are going through things. Other people are going through things too. Listen, I talked about it last week. There's always someone going through something worse and doing it with a better attitude. And everyone's going through things. Listen, we need to have grace for people. It says it's to your glory to even overlook an offense. They said that, but I know they didn't mean it, and they're probably just having a bad day. Listen, I was reminded as I was preparing a time when my dad and I were driving in my dad's Dodge pickup truck in Amarillo, Texas, in the good old Texas Panhandle. And we were merging onto I-27 between Amarillo, headed south to Canyon, Texas, and my dad was merging onto I-27, and he cut this guy off, man, big time. I mean, he, like, merged too quickly and, like, went right in front of this guy, and this guy, man, he had a road rage conniption, you know. I mean, he, like, swerved his car, like, into us instead of away from us, and he had it all going on, you know, the words, the eyes, the teeth, you know, were snarling, you know, and everything. He was shaking his fist and also telling us, reminding us we were number one all at the same time. Here's what he didn't know. My dad's dad had just passed away a few hours before. We were driving to the funeral home to make the funeral plans for my papa. That man didn't know that. All he knew is I'm in a hurry to get somewhere, and you just cut me off. Can I just tell you that it's an example, but hopefully it lands in your heart. Sometimes when people cut you off, they're dealing with something that you don't know. That they're dealing with. It says it's the glory of a Christian person. It's our glory to even be willing to overlook something in light of the grace, in light of understanding God forgave us. We just forgive people. The last thing I want to just touch on that God's word says, to just help us begin to insulate ourselves from this bait, to begin to strengthen our resolve to not take the bait, is come on, put your hope and your strength in God, not people. And Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me. My heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Come on. You know, haters are going to hate. People are going to say some things. People are going to cut you off. People aren't going to understand. People are going to gripe. People are going to complain. And I just go back to just say, my life is too short and the call of God on my life is too big for me to get caught up in that stuff. And let me just tell you, that same is true for you. You got stuff to do. You got places to be. You got people to reach for Jesus. You got things to build. You got a marriage and a family. You got a heritage and a legacy. There's stuff you need to get after. And come on, let's begin to just draw our strength and our identity from Christ and not what other people say or what other people do or the traps that other people lay before us to try to trip us up. Let's keep our eyes focused on what God's doing and allow us to just begin to just soar above it. Come on, how do you overlook an offense? I think the best way is just to keep your eyes fixed on something bigger. I don't have time to get stuck on looking at that, because I'm looking at this. God's taking me somewhere. God's leading me somewhere. God's doing something in my life, and I can't get tied up in this. And lastly, I do want to squeeze this in. Thanks for being patient, because I know we had a lot of family housekeeping earlier. The last thing is, I just think when something happens, when you get the opportunity, when that bait's been laid out, someone's been used of the enemy to present something before you that's the bait of offense to the trap of separation. And I think it's good to just begin to bless them. Come on, do you know that God's word says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? Matthew 5:44. Luke 6:28 says, come on, bless those who curse you. Really, God? That's what you want me to do? Pray for those who mistreat you? Come on, what if we've been kind of caught in this battle of just navigating a fence and God's call is so much higher? He's like, don't get caught up in this. Whenever people mistreat you, curse you, do those things against you, just start praying for them and blessing them. Come on, someone cut you off on I-27. Just start praying for them. Just say, Lord, whatever it is that's got them distracted this morning. Or maybe they're just a really bad driver. I bless them in Jesus' name. Come on. I bless them. And just begin to pray for them. Lord, can I just tell you, there was someone in my life, a close friend of mine, that did something that was really grievous to me and to my family. It was hurtful. It was painful. And can I tell you that when I really got set free, I had said I had forgiven. But you know when I really got set free? Is when I could see that person around town and I could begin to bless them. And I could begin to say, you know what? The reason they did what they did is because of some things that maybe happened in their life, or maybe they didn't have the benefit of happening in their life as it regards just the way they were raised. And I'm extending grace to them. And I'm going to begin to not only just forgive them kind of to zero balance. Somebody knows sometimes it takes effort just to get there, you know, just to be able to just forgive them. God, let them just barely sneak into heaven. God, let them just barely, come on, barely escape the fires of hell. Let it just be right on their heels, you know. But there's something that changes when you begin to move beyond just kind of just bringing their account to zero and you begin to say, God, fill them up. God, bless them in their marriage, in their family, in their finances, in their heart, in their friendship. Come on, God, bless them. Bless them. I pray for their marriage. I pray for their family. I pray for them. I pray for his future. I pray for everything that you've got for him. I pray that you would not allow the enemy to separate him from it, but I pray, Lord, that you would begin to connect him to it in deeper ways, in greater ways, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're rich in mercy towards me and you're calling me to be the same towards him. I bless them in Jesus' mighty name. And it just takes you from this place of just wrestling with the devil and in this place of being trapped in an offense to just soaring above it and beginning to be used of God. Amen. Come on, how many of you want to be that person? Amen. Come on, stand to your feet, stand to your feet, stand to your feet. Let's respond to the Lord. I want to pray over you, and then I want us to worship, and then they'll come and open the altar so you can come and receive prayer and ministry for any area of your life. But first, I just want to minister to you guys in this area. And Lord, I just thank you. If there's anyone here today who's dealing with offense, if there's anyone today who's dealing with being easily offended, Lord, I just thank you. You deal so graciously. I've been in that boat. And I thank you, Lord, you deal so graciously with us. And it's an invitation out of that situation. It's an invitation to a life where we begin to experience new levels of joy and freedom and fulfillment in every relationship and every moment. It's an invitation to get on about the things that you've called us to in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that your grace is so rich towards us today, Lord. You really are. You're full of compassion. You're rich in mercy. You're slow to anger. And I thank you today, Lord, that you would come and you would just do a work in our heart. Come on, some of you have had some real legitimate reasons to have offense towards someone. And I thank you, God, this morning, you would remind us of all that you've forgiven us of, and you'd grace us and strengthen us, Lord, to begin to just release that person. Just release them. Come on, reconciliation might not even be possible. That takes two, but it only takes one to release. And come on, when you release them to God, you think you're setting them free. What you're really doing is setting yourself free. What you're really doing is setting yourself free. You're saying, I'm no longer going to be held in this trap, this prison of offense. And I release it to you, Lord, and I trust you. I trust you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for strengthening us in our resolve. Thank you for strengthening us in our resolve to stand against those invitations and traps, that bait of offense, that bait of Satan. Come on, strengthen me, Lord, to have a resolve to partner with you. I want to partner with you, Holy Spirit, in what you're about. And in the ways in the past where I've maybe been willing to partner with the enemy, with gossip or with offense or with criticism or judgment, I thank you, Lord, for just healing my heart, dealing with me graciously, and allowing me to begin to operate differently in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you'll receive any of those things for yourself, would you just put your hands together for Jesus and just give him thanks and praise? Thank you, Lord.